Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend, and your phone calls at 1-800-229-3000. Come join us for New Life.
Taking my call. I love listening to you guys. I'm kind of in a valley as far as my faith. She has a tumor on her lung, and she's in kidney failure. And my question is, how do I tell her that she's dying?
In the court systems, teenagers usually have a lot of ability to say where they want to spend their time.
Change is not what you say. Change is what you do.
Do you ever disagree with him to his face?
Very rare.
Here's what I think cremation is. It is a dust acceleration program.
You're going to go forward. You're going to do the next right thing. You're going to sin no more. And he's going to have to sit with that.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here. Hey, John.
Hey, Steve.
We have a special program today.
Very special.
And it's about blended families. And, sometimes another term for blended family is dysfunctional family or confused family. It's tough to make them work. It really is.
Well, when you think about how God created family, it's a pretty simple arrangement. A mom who loves a dad and a dad loves a mom, and then kids.
Right.
And that in itself is hard enough,
yep.
Even that simple arrangement. And then when you throw X's and halves and steps and that sort of thing, what you end up with, I think, is a big problem in responsibility and authority.
Yeah.
Who's really my boss?
Right.
And who can tell me to take out the trash and all that?
Well, one of the things that we'll talk about here is just how important it is for the step parents to not assume that they're going to be respected right out of the barrel and have expectations that a child will resist in meeting almost every time. The authoritarian who comes in and tries to be a step parent to his new spouse's kids most likely is going to produce a fiasco there.
When you think about it, what's in the heart of a child, Steve, they've got this world in their head where mom and dad love each other,
yeah.
And it's over,
right.
But in a child's world it's not. And so here comes this intruder who's nice.
Yeah.
Not a pleasant person, but that person is threatening my dream.
Yeah.
So even if you're the kindest person in the world, you've got to realize that dream is there and help the child with it.
Right. And the dilemma is how quickly people get remarried who have children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the child hardly has a chance to grieve the loss.
Let go, grieve it, mourn it.
And then, here's the new person. And what I've found is that before you marry that person, there's this hope that in the child that it's going to fix that pain. It just might be a good thing. And then when it doesn't fix the pain, it doesn't fix everything, then there's real resentment and bitterness. And you just have to expect that.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're in a blended family, we'll talk with you right after we go to a break. But this is a time for us to, you know, if you're about to get married and the other person has kids, you know, I think first you have to ask, well, am I even entitled to get married? Am I qualified to get married based on biblical principles and standards? And then you need to ask, okay, I want to marry this person. Would it be better if I waited a few years until the kids are a different age?
Like second is get out of the ether and get into reality.
Yeah,
because so many people say, well, love will pull this off. And love is great, but you need a lot more than love. You need patience. You need truth. You need looking at hard realities. You need to understand failure. You need to be. You need to tolerate being resented and hated. Put reality in there before you make that commission, that commitment.
Yeah. All right. Well, we will take a break here.
Well, are we being too depressive and negative? Let's
know.
Tell them there's hope. There's lots of hope out there.
Oh, tremendous hope. We'll talk to you about some really good things that happened. In blended families, sometimes a fatherless child ends up with a father. Sometimes a motherless child ends up with a mother. And sometimes kids that didn't have brothers and sisters end up with those. There are all sorts of good things that can come. Thanks for putting us a check on our depressing negativity, John.
I feel the adrenaline burst now. This is good.
I do too. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. 1-800-229-3000. If you have a problem and you want to talk to a real live human being about it, 1-800-NEW-LIFE is the number to call. We'll be back.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Let's go to the phones and let's go to, well...
Can I say one little thing about, because this is a special program, Steve, and it's a specialty area. None of the solutions we come up with today will be perfect.
Right.
Because of the nature of blended families. There's always going to be a certain amount of chaos and untied ends, and you cannot be a perfectionist and do a good job in a blended family.
Right.
So kind of get that in our heads.
Yeah.
And things work out, and people have great lives and families, but it won't be a perfect solution. Never is.
Right.
Too many variables.
Let's talk about blended families with Julia from Fairfax, Virginia. WAVA is the station. Hello, Julia.
Hi, how are you?
Great. How are you? What's going on?
I'm doing really well, thank you. You guys are amazing. I've been listening to you for at least 10 years, and I've read a ton of books, and I loved How to Get a Date Worth Keeping.
Henry's book.
I was married, and my first husband left, and left me and my son, and ended up in a divorce, and went after the divorce was settled, and I decided it was time to date again. That was my Bible, and I tell you, I had some amazing accountability women around me that held my feet to the fire. And long story short, I ended up getting remarried 2 years ago to an amazing man who is a hospice chaplain, loves God with all of his heart. He himself raised two children pretty much by himself, who are now grown. And I have a 13-year-old son from my first marriage, and my son loves my husband.
Whoa,
and he calls me Dad. His father is pretty much not in the picture.
Okay.
He comes and goes, kind of. But so my question is, I guess, like I said, my son loves him. I have this expectation of the perfect family, as I think everybody does when they get into their second marriage.
Sure.
What we think alike on certain things, but there's some other issues where he is very stern and I have a different idea of how it should be done. Should I expect him to be on the same page with me, or should I, in the end, do what I think is correct? I mean, he doesn't really get involved an awful lot in, like, you know, like punishing my son or anything. He leaves that up to me. But there's certain areas where, since he is close with him now, you know, he does get involved. So I don't know what my expectations should be of him as a stepdad.
It depends on what you're talking about. If you're talking about whether or not he should buy chicken McNuggets for him when he takes him out to eat, you know, that's one thing.
Yeah.
How much freedom or how much time on video games and things like that, that's something else. So tell us an area that concrete example of where there might be a problem.
For instance, I think, you know, he started seventh grade, which is middle school here, and I'm reading a book that I think very highly of, Parenting with Love and Logic.
I love
which,
that book.
You know, lets kids kind of, you know, and in the teenage version, lets them kind of experience the consequences. So the question is, okay, if he's not studying when he should, you know, my husband thinks I should kind of, like, you know, we should lay down the gavel and say, okay, you know what, you need to do this and this and this. I think we should let him hang himself a little bit And see, so
you mean the consequence is bad grades, not like restriction.
Pardon me? Say again?
You mean making the consequence the natural consequence of making bad grades as opposed to the consequence being like restriction or...
Yes. Well, the conversation was the other day, you know, well, then if he does have bad grades and let's say, you know, he fails or he doesn't, you know, and in the end, we're looking like, let's say, 5 years out, he doesn't graduate from high school, he's not able, my husband thinks at this point, to be making those types of decisions. We need to... You know,
Well,
help him along.
I agree with your husband.
I go with him too.
Okay.
Sorry, you called Julian because now we're going to disagree with you.
Let's.
No, I'm open to learning. That's why I'm calling.
Let's take the extreme. Let's say that you had the idea that I've told him not to run out in the street, and you see a car coming, and your attitude is, well, he should know by now.
That's a lesson.
Not to run out in the street. I've taught him, and if his consequence is that he's killed right now, well, that's the way it is. So the point is you don't want to sit around and create a high school dropout because you're not willing to help. Just last night with my 13-year-old bonus son, my stepson, I said to him and his brother, I said, hey, have you guys finished your homework? Because they were messing around. I just asked the question. I didn't say, hey, listen, it is homework time. You better get with it. I just said, hey, have you guys finished your homework? Carter says to me, oh, thanks for doing that. That really is helpful. It helps me get refocused. Thank you.
Okay.
So I have
Go Carter.
No hesitation of trying to refocus kids because it's kid nature. For them,
and especially
to,
at this age, I guess.
Especially at this age.
Especially, yes, definitely.
Okay. I mean, you shouldn't be doing the same thing at 17.
Yes, right. Exactly. Well, at that point, he'd better know. I mean,
he'd better.
He should have learned. Yeah.
And I would say this: if you're looking at Love and Logic, it's a wonderful book. Just double up on the love.
Okay.
Because or otherwise, you'll end up. It'll be so earth-shatteringly new information. It'll be raising my kids with logic and logic.
Okay.
See?
I'm glad you said that because I think the book is really good, but sometimes I don't know, you know, how far to take it because I'm a very black and white thinker, and so you know I immediately want to go into love and logic mode.
Well, let me give you an example.
There's got to be a balance.
It says if your child borrows money to buy a iPhone, doesn't say that, but because it was written before iPhones. And he doesn't pay you back, then you repossess the iPhone because that's better for you to repossess an iPhone than he's 24 years old and the bank repossesses the car. That's a little bit different than graduating from high school or not, you see.
Okay.
That's something that really isn't necessary and using that to teach a lesson versus school. I think every kid needs some encouragement.
Lots of grace and love.
All right, Julia, let's drop back, though, to your big question, because you're not going to call every time there's a disagreement between you and your hubby, right? You guys are going to have 10,000 more decisions like this over the next 5 years, and I think you need a way of doing this. Okay? So what I would suggest is to come to him in your vulnerability and say, I tend to be black and white, and also I tend to let my son... like get off the hook, and as opposed to give some consequences like restriction of privileges and can't go out and loses video, whatever, and I need your help there. But also to say to him, but I need to know where your blind spots are too. Because what you don't want to get into is the whole he's a better parent, knows that stuff better than you do. And sometimes that's true, but the best marriages are those when one says, look, I tend to be a little too much on the grace. You tend to be a little too much on the truth. Let's meet where we're both giving lots of grace and truth to our kids and be of one mind. That's point number one.
That's a great idea.
Point number two, though, is I think you might want to consider hubby being part of the discipline process. Because the kid's been in there for 2 years. The kid loves him. He's a much better father than the bio father is. And your husband is wisely waiting and not doing it because he wants to make the attachment. You might want to start saying and have a little family meeting, the three of you, and say, I'm going to start letting Sam be part of the discipline process as well as the fun process because I trust him. And what do you think? And let your son start to metabolize that. I think it might be because I'm thinking about your son needing not a mom who's got the love and the limits and a dad who's nothing but love. How cool would it be to have two that both have love and limits?
And the nice thing is my husband, because of what he does for a living, he understands the value of relationships.
Oh, as the chaplain, yeah.
And so, and he's a really good communicator. So, and he's done all the homework in terms of building that relationship with Noah up to this point. So, you know, he's done all the right things. So I think you're right. At this point, he could start getting more involved. And there are times when my son might be disrespectful when he does say, hey, that's not okay to talk to your mom like that. So there are little bits and pieces of that, but I think you're right. I think he could start getting involved.
He needs a dad.
More.
I'm going to send you a copy of Boundaries with Teens. It's got a lot of that stuff.
Okay. I'm glad you called. And let me just, for all you stepdads that heard this and then you go, I knew I should have been the disciplinarian in there. No, that's not what we're saying. In this instance here, this is the bond is there, the connection is there, the love is there.
He earned it.
That's right. He understood.
He submitted to Julia. He let it be Julia's timing. Right. That's a good point, Steve.
All right. Let's go to Denise from Washington, D.C. WAVA is the station. Hello, Denise. Welcome to New Life. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing well. How are you?
Great. What's going on?
Okay. I just really wanted to know, how do I encourage my family to communicate with each other, the stepfather to the children and the children to their stepfather?
Okay. So tell me what it's like and how long you've all been blended there together.
Well, we've almost been blended for about 10 years.
And you're not communicating?
And, excuse me?
And you're not communicating?
I'm communicating a lot between everybody.
No, I think Steve meant you, meaning everybody but you.
Yeah, I imagine you're communicating overtime.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, so what's the problem? What do you think is the problem that stands between everybody?
Let's see. The children, I think, are intimidated by their stepdad.
The stepdad intimidated your children. Could that be true?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
And he's intimidated by them.
Hmm. Mutual intimidation.
All right. So,
Denise, describe those two different intimidations. Is one a yeller and is one fragile, or is one a defiant, or is one sneaky? How is it? How does stepfather intimidate, and then how do kids intimidate?
Okay. I think his personality is that he is really reserved, and he doesn't really talk a lot, and so that kind of makes them uneasy.
Like we don't really know where you are inside.
Right. Okay.
And do you think that maybe they think, well, he's here, but he's not really here?
Yeah.
If he's not interacting,
or maybe he's bugged, and they didn't think he's bugged because he's so quiet. Maybe he's mad at me or whatever.
Exactly.
Okay. Now, how do the kids intimidate stepfather?
Just because he started off at the beginning of our relationship disciplining the children, which kind of goes to what Julia was talking about. Mm. We did the opposite. He started off disciplining the children from the beginning. He and I agreed on that, but then as we grew and learned that was inappropriate, and since then apologized to them for that.
Oh, that's good.
But I think he's still intimidated by not knowing exactly what to do.
How old are the kids now, Denise?
They range from 23 to, we have one together that's 8, but between the stepchildren it's 23 to 15.
How many are left at home with the stepkids?
We have one of our adult children is married, and she and her husband and their child live here with the 15-year-old.
So how many people are in the house?
Six.
Your bio kid, the 8-year-old, you and he,
yes,
plus your 23-year-old, plus your 15-year-old.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, so you're concerned about the 15-year-old and the 23-year-old. Is that what the call's about and how they relate to him?
Yes.
Now it's interesting to me. We're going to talk, John and I'll talk about this, but you said you want to get people communicating, and he doesn't talk. So we got to get this man to talk.
We got to unintimidate him.
Yeah,
we're gonna de-intimidate your husband.
Give you some hints on how to get him unintimidated, or whatever.
Okay.
All right. So
Thank you.
Hang on there. You're listening to New Life Live, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need some help, if you could help us, we sure would appreciate it. We really would. And all you have to do is go to the website, newlife.com, or 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll have more on blended families right after this.
I wish I was who you think I am, the one you thought you married. The ideal husband, the amazing dad, the great lover. But my mind is filled with darkness, with images that I can't erase. I want so desperately to be the man you dreamed of, the man I know I can be. I am terrified to talk to you about this, but I want to. I need to. I want us to be close just as badly as you do. Can I talk to you? Can we be totally honest and know that we love each other enough to be open?
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help. I want help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before, or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
All right. Talking with Denise. We're going to try to unintimidate this man.
Denise?
Yes.
Okay. So what happens when you say to him, I know you're reserved, and I know that you're trying to be really kind, you're kind of trying to be careful after the old days with our 15-year-old, 23-year-old, but I really need you to open up more and be the man here and engage with them more. What's he going to say?
He would say, I don't communicate the same way that you do, and I shouldn't have to communicate the same way that you do.
And, all right. And I'll be you. And you be him. I'll say, you're exactly right, sweetheart. So tell me how you are going to communicate, because you're not me. So you tell me your style. How do you initiate speaking to the kids? I'd like to learn.
I usually just try to live my life in a way that shows them what to do rather than telling them.
Oh, you're a model. Honey, I wasn't talking about... I understand model. I wasn't talking about you telling the kids what to do. It's interesting that you even said tell them what to do. I just meant talk to them.
Like, ask them questions
like things
about
like,
their
how
day.
Was your day? How did that feel? What do you think of that show? How's the sports? How's your marriage?
I do that, but just because you don't hear it doesn't mean I don't do it.
Okay.
Well, do it in front of me.
So can we do it? Can you do it more when I'm around? Because, sweetheart, what I see is that the kids feel like you're not there and that you're really quiet and they're kind of scared. They don't know what you're thinking. And I think you're, you know, since you're the more mature person than the kids are, I need for you to step up more. Would you do that for me, honey?
And you're such a good man. I want them to see that in you.
And I believe that he would try it, especially if I put it that way.
Okay.
Thank you.
So you put a little honey there with the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing, is that once he connects with those kids, it's not going to go well initially. The kids are not going to say, hallelujah, chorus, that heavens are open,
right.
Ralph's opening up. They're going to be, they don't really trust him. And he's going, if he wimps out and says, see, I tried, I'm going to go back to just modeling, you've got to say, be a dad. Get back out there. They don't trust you yet. But I think that he's a little what we call conflict avoidant, and he needs to be out there engaging. And, gosh, you've only got three more years with the 15-year-old and the 23-year-old. They're sort of out. There's a window of time that they need more of them. So keep encouraging and pushing him. Steve and I would like for you to change your role, Julia, from being the one who communicates to the one who coaches. You coach him to get out there and be a really good dad with them.
What do you think?
Pointers on, I mean, I know basically just trying to be, I guess, more encouraging for him than anything else.
No, I wasn't even going to say encouraging. I would just say involved. Remember when Steve said ask him questions? It's not even encouraging because sometimes that sounds weird, like, go, sailor, you're doing great. Kids just want to know you enter their world. And if he says, I don't know what those words mean, which is a guy thing, I'm going to send you a copy of Loving People, which talks about that. But if he says, I don't know what you mean, then you say, all right, this week I'll do it and you watch me, Ralph. How did it go? How'd that feel? What did the teacher say? And then it's like, this is how you enter a kid's world. Then next week he's got to try it.
She was asking if she should have a role of encouraging the husband.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you mean?
Thank you, Steve.
And I'm a psychologist and I don't understand relationships very well.
But. And so to that, we would say, well, it'd be much more helpful to have an encouraging role with your husband than a demeaning role or a demanding role. And that's going to take you farther.
Well, I mean, you kind of lit up when Steve said, honey, something encouraging. I was saying something kind of mean. You were nice. What did you say, Steve?
Hey, honey, you're such a good man.
Yeah, you kind of lit up on that one, Julia.
Yes, I did.
Well, that means it probably works.
But you say you're mostly demanding with him?
Yes, I am. I'm pretty demanding with everybody, even the children. So I'm trying to change my ways as well.
Okay, two words for you. Stop it.
Okay.
No, fine.
Didn't that help?
I've been to a New Life. I've been to the New Life
weekend.
Oh,
you've seen
and
the Stop
exactly
It video.
I know exactly what you mean, Bob.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, it Bob is Newhart.
Bob Newhart. Yeah. Well, you know, you ought to find out what is that. Where's that need to control and be in charge? You know, where does that come from?
I know what could help.
What?
Julia? Still there?
Denise?
I said Julia. I didn't listen to the question. I got your name wrong.
That's okay.
You can be really demeaning to me if you need to be. here's the advice. Go to the kids and hubby and say, I tend to be demanding, and I'm trying to be encouraging, too, so I need your feedback. Tell me when it sounds demanding, and I may have some rules. We all have rules that I've got to tell you about, but tell me when I sound demanding to you, and I'll put some more positive in there. So let them be your coaching session.
Okay.
And, you know, to kind of make it lighter, you might say, just hold up, make the sign of a D with your fingers. And maybe you guys can laugh at that a little bit, and you can smile at them versus, you know, be defensive or whatever.
And then do an E with your fingers for encouraging.
Yeah. All right?
Okay.
All right. Well, I'm glad that you called. And
poor Denise. Got her name wrong.
Yeah. Well, we love you. We care about you. We want to see this thing work. But
thank you.
I know this, if his lips don't move, he don't get in the groove. That's kind of a principle of step-parenting there. You've got to communicate with those kids. You got to care about them, and you got to express that care and concern. Something as simple as, tell me the best thing that happened to you today.
And then their hearts will be soothed.
Yeah. You know, when my stepkids were younger, they would come home from school, and I would say,
did anything disgusting happen today?
Question.
And, you know, sometimes somebody threw up or somebody snorted or something like that. And so it became a challenge to find something disgusting every day to come back and talk about. We'll take a break. We'll come back right after this for more of New Life Live.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places, and New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
Hey, we're back. Talking about blended families, all sorts of stuff to talk about. Let's go to...
You know, God has a blended family, Steve.
He does.
Israel and the Gentiles. Grafted them in. Yeah. Made it work out.
Let's go to Susie from Indianapolis. Listens on WQME, our home away from home up there. And hello there.
Hi.
How can I help you today?
And actually, we attend the same church.
You go to Heartland?
Yes.
Wonderful.
Yeah, and I see you, and I want to ask you questions, and I know I have to have boundaries.
No, no you don't. No, when I'm at Heartland, I'm just a pastor when I'm there, you know, so you can ask me anything you want.
Steve might be one of the most accessible public people out there.
That's great. Well, I really enjoy
me and Pee Wee Herman.
You and Pee Wee.
We're accessible. All right, Susie, do you like Heartland?
Yes, I do.
I do, too.
I think we're going to become members soon.
Yay. All right, so how can we help you? What's going on?
Well, it's been going on for about 5 years now, and the problem is my ex-husband's remarried.
Okay.
And my children really don't care for her that much. She's very authoritative.
Mm-hmm.
He pretty much lets her be that way. He doesn't have much say.
He backs off. He takes a back seat.
Yes. The main problem is the kids have two 14-year-old daughters and a 15-year-old son, and for the last 5 years, when they go to his house, they share a bedroom.
All three?
Yes.
That's not okay.
Our oldest son...
Not okay.
No. Our oldest son is 17, and he has refused to go there for the last year.
Okay.
So there was all four of them, and they're in, like, a loft situation where they're all two double lofts up in the, you know, so mm-hmm. it's not a good situation.
No,
I've talked to him about it before.
What does he say?
I'm sorry?
What does he say?
They don't have any room. They don't have any room to accommodate.
How long are the visits and how frequent are the visits, Susie?
They're with him every week. Half the week they're with him, half the week they're with me.
Oh, wow. No. This is a big problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but you're going to have to... Yeah, go ahead.
Let me tell you this.
Okay.
The problem is, I've talked to him about it, and I've been very, very upset about it, but he has this way of... He's kind of unstable. He's a very emotional man, and he will start crying, and... You know, I'm sorry, I'm a bad dad. You know, I don't have a big house. My house is crowded. You know, and he kind of makes me take pity on him, even though. And so I've let this happen for 5 years.
So pity is okay. But if the pity hurts your children, it's not okay.
Right.
Your son and your two twin girls have been half of their life in the last 5 years living in the same bedroom?
Yes.
Yeah, we got to stop this, Susie, like now.
Yeah, I know.
Even if it means that he goes and buys a couch that makes into a bed and they sleep out in the living room and the kids get their, you know, the boy and girls in different rooms.
Have you made suggestions like that?
Well, and his stepson just went to college, but he had a room all to himself. And I've never been in the house, but from what the kids say, the house is very crowded. She's
Let me say it this way, Susie.
Okay.
If he doesn't come across with an answer ASAP, you have to go to the attorney and say, we might have to bring Child Protective Services in here. I am pushing you because this is a big, big deal.
I know.
This is not arguing. This is not, well, he got upset. This is like lawyers, guns, and money time, Susie, and you need to be the one driving this.
Okay.
No matter how much he cries, you feel the pity, but you act on behalf of the kids.
There's just so much damage that could have already happened in the last 5 years. You got to stop it now. And so it's not an argument anymore. It's not reason. You make the suggestions that Steve made, and people do this all the time. Somebody lives in the living room. Kids can do that. Boys can do that and those sort of thing. But if he will not change really quickly, you've got to go to the attorney and maybe the authorities. It's big.
Okay.
Okay.
You know, and there's compared to that, there's some minor things. You know, the stepmom makes them eat things that they don't want to eat. And then their father will come along when she's in the room and eat it for him. I mean, it's just.
Okay, yeah, those are misdemeanors. You got a felony going on here. You got a big fire of developmental problems in your children, sexual issues, gender issues, differentiation of your own personality issues. This is it. Everything else takes a back seat.
Okay.
At what age should a male and female brother sister stop sharing a room? What's the best? Or what would be the oldest that could healthily happen? Certainly isn't into the teens.
No. Yeah.
No.
Give or take, probably by the time school starts.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. I hope that's helpful to you, Susie. I'm going to send you walking into walls. I know you've got a big responsibility here, but it's serious.
You be the advocate. You be the protector. You be the mom, the parent that he won't be. But do it now.
All right. Whew. Well, I tell you know, sometimes one little compromise leads to another little compromise. And, you know, this man, I mean, it feels like he picked this. He left her and married somebody else, and he's picked this situation. And so he may have to live with some pretty tough living circumstances there.
And also, if you're a Susie and you put up with something because somebody can manipulate you by crying.
Yeah, there you go.
There's times when I've had to do this, when somebody's doing the pity thing, I spend about a minute saying, I'm sorry you're hurting, but I need a decision now.
Yeah.
You know, people sometimes who are trying to do something dark or toxic or hurtful, you got to say, sorry you're feeling bad,
right.
But this car is going off the road.
Yeah.
And you just need to do the right thing here.
Okay, let's go to Renee from Jefferson City, Missouri. KMFC is the station. Hello, Renee.
Hi. I first want to say thank you for the New Life Ministry. It's really blessed me and my family over the years.
Thank you. Appreciate that. How could we help today?
Well, I've got a question about my father. How do you honor, as in honor thy father and mother, that scripture reference, how do you honor a father when he's made unhonorable choices?
Okay, and, what choices did the father make that were dishonorable?
Okay, well, I'm oversimplifying this.
Okay.
But the situation is that he was married to my mother for nearly 40 years, and he ran off with his secretary from the office, which is my sister-in-law.
Sister-in-law?
And
sister-in-law. Was she married?
My father ran off with my sister-in-law.
Was she married to your brother at the time?
She was married to my brother-in-law. My husband.
Got it.
Okay.
And so he ran off with her, and they ended up getting married. They lived together for 9 months, and then they got married like 5 days after the divorce was final, and mm-hmm. we weren't invited or notified. But now they want to pretend like everything's all good, mm-hmm. and they want us to be a part of their life, and they don't understand why we're hurt. And
they don't understand the devastation that they caused.
Right.
What have you told him? What have you expressed to him?
Well, it started out pretty ugly, I admit. We're Christians. He's a Christian. His new wife is a Christian. My mom is a wonderful Christian. And,
yeah.
you know, I've always thought that he was a church leader. I mean, people looked up to him, and,
yeah.
and he led Bible studies, and he was a leader in the church. And so I thought they were wonderful parents. I mean, they were in many ways. But there at the end of the marriage, it was just very confusing for me to see him make all the choices he told me not to make
yeah.
in my lifetime. And he...
Renee?
Yes.
You're going to have to forgive him.
I've tried. I really have.
I know.
Why is it hard? Why is it hard to forgive Renee?
Because, one, he left me with Mom to pick up all the pieces.
Yeah.
So I didn't get to grieve for 3 years while her life was falling apart mm-hmm. because I was trying to take care of her. Mm. Then... To even multiply it more, it's affected my marriage because now my in-laws all hate my father. And my niece and nephew is now my step-sibling. And it just multiplies. It gets bigger and bigger. And at first I yelled and cussed and I acted horrible out of just rage, I guess. And then it kind of got to a point where I feel like I just want to do the right thing.
Okay, hold on. We're going to go to a break. We're going to talk about justifiable resentment as soon as we get back from this break.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. As a pastor, I've seen how important it is for people to come and get good Christian counsel. People make decisions that turn out to be the wrong decision. I heard Steve Arterburn say on New Life not too long ago that the same thinking that got you into your mess isn't going to get you out of it. If you find yourself in a spot and you don't know what the next right thing to do is, then won't you call the good people at New Life? They have a network of Christian counselors around the country that's more than 850 strong. Call today 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. And tell them you need to find someone to help you. They're likely to have a counselor in your area to help you with whatever you're struggling with. It will be good, godly counsel. Call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 639-5433.
I counsel people every single day. I help marriages. I help broken people find healing. I teach the good news of a Savior that loves us. But why can't I accept it myself and break free from this bondage? I can't stop looking at pictures that I shouldn't be looking at, and fantasizing and lusting, and now I've taken it a step further and gone to a strip club. I have to stop. I want to stop.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help, and I can't do this on my own. I want to be the pastor that God wants me to be.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life, or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
All right, we're back. We're talking with Renee. And before we go to Renee, let me remind, you know, somebody, I mentioned this Stop It video, and she mentioned the Stop It video. If you want to see that video, you can go to newlife.com. It's Bob Newhart's one of the funniest pieces of video you'll ever see.
All time.
Yeah, and it's just classic. So, Stop It. Go to the website, newlife.com. All right. Renee, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, so everything you've said says to me that you are totally justified in the resentment that you have toward him. Totally justified. Thus, you got all these people piling on, making you feel even more justified. They're angry too. You say they hate him.
Right.
It makes it even more difficult for you to forgive than if somebody said to you, oh, well, that's no big deal. You got to get over that. See, that's unjustified resentment. But
right.
These people have given you a license to carry this bitterness and resentment the rest of your life, and that's going to kill you. Or that's going to prevent you from letting God work in your life. So you've got a big assignment here above and beyond everything else, is you've got to forgive a man that, you know, essentially did something kind of unforgivable. So,
is that different than love?
It's an aspect of love.
When we love somebody, we forgive them. But you're not, in forgiving, you're not honoring a dishonorable person. You're just releasing yourself from him.
You're canceling a debt. That's what the Bible says is when we don't forgive, Renee, what we're saying is you owe me. And when we forgive, we say, I'm canceling the debt. You don't owe me anything anymore.
Yeah.
Now, let me make a point, though, Renee, because this gets confusing for people. Forgiveness is about the past, his past sins and selfishness and all that. But reconciliation is about the future. You may not be able to reconcile with him and trust him and be close to him until he finally says, we really screwed up and hurt you guys and owns it. So keep the time sequence.
That would mean so much.
Well, sure it would.
The world to us.
Sure it would.
Hold it. Now, I heard the energy in your voice, which is, I want to point something out. I think you have a tendency to want what is not yet and live in the what should be world.
Yeah.
Ideals.
You have to get out of that.
You have to get out of that. And that's why when Steve said you need to forgive, I felt the energy change because he was taking you from what should be or shouldn't be to what is. And forgiveness is about what is. So the task for you is to cancel the debt, feel sad, grieve it, let it go. And in the future, to watch him and be close if he ever opens up and owns and confesses and says, I'm sorry. And if he doesn't, you know, you have just a kind of normal, shallow relationship with the guy.
That's where we're at now.
Doesn't sound like it.
Shallow. I mean,
I understand, but I think the shallow is because of your lack of forgiveness. You can do better. Let that go. Feel free of it. Release it. Not have that yucky feelings inside of I wish he'd have done this and the resentment Steve's talking about. And we're going to send you a copy of Steve's book that this comes from, The Walking Into Walls. It'll help you with this. But then you're not going to be shallow on your end because you're not going to have the unforgiveness in your tummy. And then if he ever changes, you can deepen things.
Yeah, see, I would argue that the relationship isn't shallow. It's very deep on your part right now. Deep in resentment and bitterness
stuff.
And toxic things.
So you want to clear all that stuff
up. And when John says, then you can get to that shallow level, see, expecting nothing, and really, there's a big element of grieving here. You've got to grieve. You know, that protest that you were
expressing was actually good at the time, mm-hmm. but now you've got to grieve and let it go.
But nobody's saying that you've got to feel close or vulnerable right. to a man who does that to his family. You can still honor him.
Yeah.
The Bible says honor, which means to give weight to what is weighty. You're giving weight to the chair he sits in. He was your father. You honor that. But you don't be vulnerable with somebody who doesn't earn it.
Renee?
Okay.
Renee, here is the ultimate way to honor your father who's dishonorable, okay? You ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
You become a person beyond anything that he could help you become.
Hmm.
So you become an honor to the family. That's honoring. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
You
yes.
don't,
and that's encouraging to me.
Yeah, and it's dishonoring. It would be dishonoring to use him as an excuse to go live a crummy life. That'd be the ultimate dishonor, is I'm going to live a crummy life and I'm going to blame him. That's dishonor. But honor is becoming more than he could ever help you be, and you go have the marriage that he could never teach you how to have. And you be loyal in a way he could never teach you to be loyal, good times and bad.
I like that.
That will be an honor to him and the family.
Yeah, it sounds like you're a really cool, growth-oriented person, and if you do these steps, you're going to feel better inside.
That's all right. What I needed today. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you. That was
Hold
a
on.
Really good thing you brought up.
I'm going to send you Walking Into Walls. It's five blind spots that block God's work in you. One of them is justifiable resentment. The other big one, I think, is stubborn resistance. Oh, my goodness. You've heard people call here with that, where they call and ask a question, but the last thing in the world they want to do is listen to us give an answer. You know, you just see it. It's the yes, but, or the excuse after excuse. You hear it all the time. Anyway, it could be helpful. Well, let me remind you, we really do need your help in supporting this ministry. Before John closes with some scripture, I just want to share with you that, you know, we made it through the summer, and you didn't hear big, huge, desperate pleas, because we made it through the summer. The Lord brought us through the summer, and now we need your help. Just come on board and help us here to support this ministry, buy this radio time so we can be on that station that you're on and honor God in what we do. That's what we always want to do, is honor God in every single way possible. Please, if you need help or you can help us, the phone number is 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It's just that simple. And our tips, we've got some wonderful tips for you as we do, and you can find that at the website. Just go to the daily tips section, and we'll send that to you. Or you can call 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and we'll send you the daily tips. So and they'll be on Blended Families. So we also have a New Life perspective on difficult conversations, and that comes out of John and Henry's book, How to Have That Difficult Conversation, and I think it's a great lead-in to the book. You can get that at newlife.com or 1-800-NEW-LIFE. John, you have some scripture for us?
Steve, I was thinking about in the calls how so many people in a blended family situation feel like they're enslaved.
Yeah.
I don't know how to act. My kids aren't relating, and I'm stuck. And I thought about Galatians chapter 5, where Paul talks about our freedom from slavery. Mm-hmm. He says, stand firm then. And he says, don't ever be yoked again to slavery. What that means is that Jesus' death made us so that we can have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
You have choices in your family, with your kids, with your ex, with your with your husband. Make sure you're using those choices and don't feel enslaved by guilt or walking on eggshells. You be the parent and do things. God will be behind you. He'll give you freedom.
That's right. Oh boy, I'll tell you, you know, there's freedom and there's peace and there's security and there's purpose and there's meaning. And people say, I just don't like the Christian faith. That's what it is. That's what we should be living and can be living if we'll trust our life.
Best deal out there.
It really is. We love you. We care about you. We pray for you every week. And we hope and pray that this will be a great week for you and a great weekend. And we're going to see you right back here on Monday. Don't forget that Stop It video at newlife.com. It's really worth the effort to see.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life.
We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us on Monday for New Life Live.